Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone back out this evening. It's been a good day. We had a new visitor with us this morning. His name and information are on the bulletin board in the back, so I would encourage everyone to send him a note thanking him for attending and praying for him that he will come back and visit with us again. I've got the lights off up here tonight because all the slides are going to be photographed, so hopefully they'll show up a little bit better. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and I mentioned this morning that this evening I want to talk about this psalm, and the Lord is my shepherd. And I want to do at least two or three sermons on shepherds in the Bible. And we're going to start off with this. This is probably one of the best known chapters in the Bible. It uses figurative language. The Lord is my shepherd. David is the writer, and he's speaking from a sheep's perspective. And with Psalm 23, we have a double layer of information running throughout this chapter. David is a shepherd, but he's not writing only from his own experience, although he's done everything that is mentioned in this psalm, but everything that David is writing about is also a shadow of the same thing that his shepherd, God, will do for him and what God will do for us. And in the Old Testament, we have God the Father portrayed as a shepherd, and in the New Testament, we have God the Son portrayed as the good shepherd. So God the Father and God the Son are both portrayed as shepherds. Shepherds that lead, not ranchers that drive, but shepherds that lead. They lovingly lead us through life. And that is why the position of a shepherd is used as for the eldership, for an elder to lovingly lead someone in the local church. The elders, the pastors, the shepherds that lovingly lead the flock, that lovingly tend the flock, that lovingly feed the flock. The shepherd is used in the parable in Luke 15, 4 through 7, to show God's loving care to come and search for those that are lost, to search for you and to search for me. And the shepherd personifies God's love and care for us. Let's read through the psalm, and then we'll go back and we'll look at it verse by verse. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we start and we look at this, David personifies it or personalizes it. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. And again, a shepherd, he's not a ruler, but a caretaker. The watchful care of the shepherd, always providing and protecting, and he's never going to abandon us. And you can look at this beginning in different ways. The Lord is the one that's my shepherd, not somebody else, but the Lord. Or the Lord is my shepherd. Again, it's a personal relationship. And the Lord is my shepherd, that one that watches over and guides us. God, the Son, Jesus, the good shepherd, he laid down his life for me. And he knows his sheep by name. They hear and recognize his voice and follow him. And there's this intimacy that exists between God and his children, between the shepherd and his sheep. To know that God knows me by name and personally cares for me. That's reassuring. And again, as we were talking this morning about God's cure for worry, God knows every one of us. He knows everyone that's ever been born and will be born. He knows us by name. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows us personally, and that should be reassuring. And it should bring peace to our soul that God is my shepherd. He'll gather his lambs in his arms. He'll carry them in his bosom. And he'll gently lead them with those that are young. We'll look at that later in another lesson in Isaiah chapter 40. So also to say that the Lord is my shepherd, that's to imply that I am his sheep. And again, there's a relationship between a shepherd and a sheep. And to sum up that relationship in one word is trust. Trust. There are many things in the world that we cannot trust right now. Life is very uncertain, but we need to be able to trust someone. Some things we need to be able to trust our shepherd. And one of the reasons it's easy for me to trust my shepherd is because my shepherd is unchanging. How many people do you know that you ask them to do something and then you wonder, are they really going to do that? Are they going to follow through? Sometimes they've done it, sometimes they don't. But God is unchanging. Our shepherd is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We don't have to worry about his character changing, about his mood changing. We don't have to worry about his promises changing. Our shepherd is steadfast and dependable and sure. You know, after service this morning, we were at the nursing home talking to Carol's mother, and one of the things she always asked about is the weather, and we were talking about how the weather, people's attitude toward it, you know, the weather isn't the issue, it's their attitude. But you see some people, they wonder, what's the weather going to be today? Is it going to be sunny? Is it going to be rainy? Is it going to be snowy? Is it going to be gloomy? Does our shepherd wonder what the weather is going to be like for the day? No, our shepherd controls the weather. He's in control of everything. So we don't have to wonder or worry about what's going to happen. Our shepherd is in control, and we can put our trust in him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here is a slide of some sheep and goats drinking in a valley. There'd be a stream running through there. The good shepherd gives the sheep sources of food and water. He's going to provide for them. His provisions are abundant compared to our needs. What do we need in life? We need very little, but God has blessed us so great. Here, the shepherd is providing water for them. Here, there are sheep grazing on the slopes of this valley. The valley floors, the lowlands, were good for raising crops. So the shepherds would often take their sheep out on the hillside, and they would graze there until the harvest on the lower part of the valley was brought in, and then they would bring the sheep back down. But the shepherd takes care of them. Notice again in verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Here are two verbs in this verse. He makes and he leads. And he leads us from a place of need to a place of satisfying that need, of satisfying my needs. The needs that we have, God abundantly supplies them. Anything that we have or need, God will take care of that for us. Here's a shepherd with a flock of sheep. Again, down in the green pastures, he leads me beside the still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And these green pastures are in contrast to the grass or hay that would be cut. This is fresh food. And you see some of the sheep here, some are eating. And when they eat these green pastures, they are content and they lie down. These green pastures literally means meadows of grass, green, fresh grass, not hay. So you see a sheep that's lying down in green pastures, that sheep is satisfied and it's content. It's content. Doesn't have to worry about a thing. The shepherd has given it a good source of nourishment. It's satisfied, it's content, and it's laying down. And as God's sheep, we should be content and satisfied. You stop and think about that. God has provided everything for us that we need. All of the physical blessings, all of the spiritual blessings, everything that we need in this life, and everything that we need to prepare in the world to come. So he leads us from a place of need to a place of satisfying our needs. He leads me beside the still waters. And again, he's leading us. He's constantly leading us. He's not sitting somewhere watching as our life unfolds, but this shepherd, just as he leads the sheep, God is leading us today. And again, if you believe in the sovereignty of God, if you believe in the providence of God, things don't happen by chance. God is leading us. There's some reason that he brings us in contact with certain people. There's a reason that he brings us in contact with events. And he is unfolding these events. He is leading us. So our shepherd would have to prepare a pasture. Think about this too. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And when you look at this photograph and these others, the terrain in Palestine and Judea is not like it is around here where it's flat. What would a shepherd have to do for this pasture? He would have to prepare it. He would have to remove the thorn bushes, the brush. He'd have to remove the rocks. He'd have to irrigate it. He'd have to prepare the soil so that the pasture would grow. This takes a lot of work for the shepherd. David would have done this. And God prepares a pasture for us. And again, you think about all the things that God does for us and prepares for us. And again, with the sheep, the shepherd will lead him out of that wasteland into green pastures. God will lead us out of sin into a land of blessings. God will lead us out of these bad places in this life into good places that we need to be in. And just think for a minute about that term, green pastures. And most of us in this room are middle age or up in age, but we need to teach the young people what green pastures are. And what are green pastures? It's anything that God says it is. Anything that is right. Oftentimes, what do we think of green pastures? We think it's on the other side of the fence. You know, you hear the saying, the grass is always greener on the other side. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Friends, what God has given us is green pasture. It may look greener on the other side, but that is Satan tempting us. It may look better to have this other job, this bigger house, this more expensive car. Those are Satan's pastures. We need to be content. Again, God has given us everything that we need, and we will lie down in green pastures. We'll be satisfied and content. Verse 3, he restores my soul. This is a comforting concept. And sheep are not aggressive animals. They are timid. And other animals can frighten them. And they can be easily upset. A coyote comes into a flock, some strange animal, and they get easily upset. What does the shepherd do? The shepherd restores my soul. When we get upset in life, what's our shepherd going to do? He's going to restore our soul. That's a great blessing for us. What does restore mean? It means to refresh. When my spirit is exhausted, when it's weary, it's sad, God quickens my spirit. God restores my soul. When I'm drained and exhausted from everyday life, God restores my soul. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Here we see a shepherd again leading his sheep down a certain way. The shepherd isn't behind pushing the sheep. He's taking the lead. He's not yelling, hurry up, come on, go faster. He's leading the sheep. He's guiding us each step of the way. There's a song that we sing in our book. It's a beautiful song, number 415. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me. And with his loving hand, he leads the way. That is a beautiful picture of our shepherd leading us through life every day. My shepherd guides me in the paths of righteousness. So I cannot find the path of righteousness on my own. As a sheep, I'm going to wander off. I'm going to wander away. My shepherd leads me in the right path, the path of righteousness. And as I was talking with someone before service about the lesson last Sunday night, where people think they are entitled to their own opinion, we aren't. There is a way of righteousness, and that way is not our own way, but our shepherd will guide us in the path of righteousness. We all wander. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And you know what the dangers of that are? When we wander, there might be a roaring lion prowling about waiting to devour us. But my shepherd, your shepherd, our shepherd guides me in the right path to keep me safe. And friends, if we learn this lesson, it'll save us from so many problems in life. So many problems. My shepherd is the one that risked his life to save me. Again, another song that we sing, the 90 and 9. It's number 641 in our book. And it's a beautiful story. It's the story about you and me, how the shepherd left the 90 and 9 that were in the fold and went out and looked for the one that was lost. Again, that's you and that's me. So notice what the shepherd has done for us so far. He guides us. He provides us. He heals the brokenhearted and the sick. And he leads us. And then verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Here we have a picture of a shadow. A valley that has a shadow through it, and you can't see it, but in the photograph there are people walking down in the bottom of that. This dark place. We go through valleys with shadows in them in our life. These dark, scary places. Are we afraid? That depends on whether or not the Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is my shepherd and we are going through with them, we do not have to fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And to digress for a minute, back to when God would prepare new pastures for us, and that preparation isn't easy. And sometimes, you remember what David had to battle with when he was young and out tending the sheep? He had to battle with a lion and with a bear. Just natural enemies that came along. But we can see that God taught David lessons leading the sheep when he was a shepherd, so that David would have the understanding to lead God's people. And when I as a sheep, when we as sheep, and when we see our shepherd, when we see God use his rod and his staff to defend and protect us from the ones that would devour us, when we see that in our life, that again should give us great comfort. How many times in your life has something that happened to you and you think, how did I escape this danger? I can think of times in my life, and it was by the grace of God. He protected us. It may have been scary. It may have been scary, just like David fighting with a lion and a bear, but God was with him. God saw him through this. So get this picture in your mind. David is leading the sheep out of the pasture of the flatlands. The pasture is bare. He leads them through the gate. He leads them through this valley onto higher ground. And that's why that David, again, writing from a sheep's perspective, writing of his shepherd, says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. This sheep that is following David from the safety of the pasture in the flatlands, going through this terrain, he doesn't have to fear, because his trust again is in the shepherd. David had the ability and the experience to accomplish that with his sheep. Just think about it. David did that with his sheep. How much greater is God, the Lord is my shepherd, that can deliver us from evil? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. The only thing that we have to fear is if we are not with God, then God is not with us. Here is a photograph of some wood staffs and walking sticks that are in a museum, just something to show what they were like during that time. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So again, the terrain in Palestine is not like it is around here. You had valleys, you had lowlands, you had slopes, and then like this, you had this flat raised area, and that was called a tableland. We sing a song about that. What is that song? Higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. So again, this is part of the terrain that the shepherd would prepare. Thou preparest a table before me. But what's different about this land? It's exposed. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What would some of those enemies be? Well, a bear would be one of them. And this is a photograph. This is a Syrian, a brown bear at the Jerusalem zoo. So this is something, a predator that would have been natural at that time in that valley, in the presence. So David's sheep may have faced enemies like wild animals, bears, lions, coyotes, wolves. What kind of enemies do we face today? We face some that are obvious and some that are not so obvious. We might face apathy. We might face indifference. We might face discouragement. And stop and think about this. What good would a shepherd be if he led the sheep, he led them out of the fold, he prepared the tableland for them, but then he didn't protect them from their enemies? But our shepherd provides for me from the biggest enemy with the rod and staff. If an animal came after them, he could use that rod and staff all the way down to the smallest enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. A couple more slides with this. And thinking about this area, here is a picture of the Judean wilderness, the mountains of Moab, and a view of the mountains of Moab from Mount Zion. So where David was in Jerusalem, he would have been able to look out and see where the Moabites were, which were one of his enemies. Here's just another picture of that, which is really breathtaking, seeing that. And again, thinking, it's like we're up on this area exposed to our enemies. Did David have to fear? No. Why not? Because God was with him. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Our shepherd is going to take care of us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Well, what was this anointing their heads with oil about? Well, again, this was one of the enemies of the sheep. Here is a picture of a shepherd anointing sheep with oil from a horn. Here's a little more modern day looking photograph where someone has a jar and they are anointing the head of this sheep with oil. One of the enemies of a sheep were flies. And the flies would look for a soft membrane surface to lay eggs. So with the sheep, where would they do that? They would fly in and lay eggs in the nose of the sheep. So what would happen then with those eggs? They would hatch. They would turn into worms, what we would call maggots. So you have these sheep with this small enemy in their head, and what are they going to do? They're going to try to get rid of them. So how are they going to do that? They're going to butt heads. They're going to beat their head against a fence. They're going to beat their head against a tree. They're going to beat their head against a rock, and they'll kill themselves trying to get rid of this enemy. These sheep don't have to worry about this. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The shepherd takes care of our enemies, from the biggest one, from the lions and the bears, all the way down to the flies. Those little things, and sometimes those little things in life can gnaw at us and eat at us, and they are worse than some of the bigger problems. And I wonder with this, when this was written, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I imagine that this psalm was written later in David's life when he had grown old enough to have enemies, like he mentions in verse 5, and to have experienced the threat of death from his enemies, like in verse 4. Let's turn back to 2 Samuel for a minute. 2 Samuel chapter 12, and read the first 5 verses. And this is a parable that Nathan tells David after David had committed the sin with Bathsheba. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David and came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished, and it grew up together with him with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul." And he goes on and he tells David what is going to happen to him. But this poor man had this one little ewe lamb, which is a female sheep, and it became part of his family. The shepherd knows the sheep, knows them by name, and the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And it's not uncommon where this was talking about taking it into his house. You know, on a cold winter night, it might take the baby lamb in to nourish it, to keep it warm, to keep it safe, to keep it alive. And David just couldn't stand the thought of somebody going in and taking that man's little ewe lamb. But that's what he had done with Uriah, where he had gone in and taken this man's wife. My guess is that David wrote Psalm 23 after he had stolen that ewe lamb, Bathsheba, from his neighbor and used her for his own pleasure. My guess is that David's heart was broken for this action. We know when he wrote Psalm 51 and he talks about his sin, "And my sin is ever before me." But he writes this psalm riding as a sheep and knowing his shepherd. And David, as he has repented and turned to God, he can confidently say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We'll get into this slide when we look at one of the other lessons of this sheepfold. This will tie in with John chapter 10, and where Jesus is the good shepherd, the door to the sheep. But the sheep become part of the shepherd's family and come into his protection and care. So the question tonight is, friends, can you confidently say that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Can you say that? Do you think that you can escape the predators of this life? You know, Satan has those out there ready to devour us, from the biggest ones to the smallest ones. The only way we can escape them is by our shepherd watching over us. Do you want to enjoy the blessings and protection that our shepherd can provide? Friends, if you want that, you cannot enjoy those blessings unless you have been added to the flock. You cannot enjoy those if you're outside of the fold. You need to be washed in the blood of Christ. We need to walk, follow Him in the paths of righteousness. You know, our shepherd will not let sheep that are not His own live with Him forever. We have to be part of the flock. We have to follow the shepherd. Friends, don't you want to be obedient to the shepherd's call? He lovingly calls us, again, just like that 90 and 9. He goes out looking for us. We don't know everything that He had. We don't understand everything that He had to go through to find you and to find me. Don't let that be in vain. Friends, give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ tonight. Live for Him, and He will richly bless you now and in the life to come. If there's anybody that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.